What's up, Grizz Nation? Welcome to the show. It's Candace, David, and Isaac. This is the Ethos Grizzlies podcast covering some summer league action. We did not have a post game following the Cavaliers game because there wasn't much to talk about. It was just a crap showing from the Grizzlies. And then more of the same today against the Clippers. The story of the Clippers game was turnovers. The Grizzlies could not take care of the ball, and that's really – they were in this game and actually I think could have won this game had they had a little bit more ball security. And, you know, you look at David Roddy, played playoff rotation minutes, six turnovers from him and a negative six. You don't expect to see that. 4-for-11 from the field, 0-for-4 from three. Kenneth Lofton Jr. turned the ball over seven times. 23 turnovers total are going to be very hard to overcome if you're not creating them yourself. And they were not. The Clippers took good care of the ball. Kudos to Xavier Moon, who played a heck of a game. I feel like in the second half, he really came on. And that's what allowed the Clippers to kind of put this one away. Isaac, I'll toss it to you first here, man. Is there anything specifically, like, we can get more game-oriented if you want to, but is there anything that you have seen specifically in summer league from any of these guys that gives you hope or has you scared at all?
But I think, obviously, going into summer league, the main guys you're looking at, obviously, Kenneth Lofton Jr., Jake LaRavia, David Roddy, and G.G. Jackson. I think those are, the guys that you're paying attention to the most. I think these other guys are not really guys that you're super concerned about. I don't think there's anybody outside of those guys that you really need to be keyed in on, because I don't think any of those guys are going to have a path to the main roster or anything. And some of those guys are going to be in the G League, I'm sure, with the hustle guys like Matthew Hurt, Jacob Gilliard, who is currently still on a two-way. We'll see what happens with that. But nobody has really popped. I think outside of Kenneth Lofton, it's not no surprise to me, because coming in, you know how big of a fan I am of Junior, and I figured that he was just going to go out there and do what he does, because he always does it. Every time he gets an opportunity to play, he usually shines, man, and that's what he's doing. And just putting up big-time numbers throughout the summer league. I'm sure one of the leading scorers throughout the entire summer league, so he's just out there doing his thing. I think one thing from him is defense has improved. You see the effort on that end. You see him getting in passing lanes, tipping some balls ahead, even doing a little bit of rim protection, get a couple blocks here and there. And I think that's what the Grizzlies want to see from him, improvements on the defensive end. And I know it's summer league, and I know it's a completely different level of what you're going to see in a regular season, but you control what you control and you play who you're playing. And his defense has improved at this level. You see some things that you like on the defensive end, because we know what he can do on the offensive end, man. Just three-level score. His three-point shot looks really good. He's shooting that with confidence. So I think that's a big thing for him as far as a path to playing time, consistent shooting from the three-point range, and also improving on his defense. And I think we've saw both of those things in the summer league in spades. So I think that's a positive. With the other guys, with Jake LaRavia, he played a good game today. I like what I saw from him on the defensive end. He was extremely active on that end. And another thing that he's been doing is when he hasn't been consistent from three, he's been getting into the paint, getting to the free throw line. And even today, even I talk a lot about his lateral quickness, he was able to get to the basket somehow today and finish several times. So I commend him today. But for me, none of that stuff really is super important for me, because I feel like the big thing for him as far as being a viable NBA rotation player is shooting. I still think when you get into two regular season and you're playing against NBA level players, I think he's going to struggle with his foot speed, quickness, getting his shot off. And one thing that you want to see from three from him is consistency. And he's still been all over the place. I mean, he's had games where he knocked down decent amount, but there have been other times where he struggled. He'll start off 0-for-5, then he might hit three. He's still not showing the consistency that you want to see. And if he doesn't become, I think with his shortcomings in other parts of his game, I think he needs to become like a knockdown three-point shooter. And I'm not sure that we've seen the consistency that makes you think that that's happening yet. I think he needs to be a 38 plus percent three-point shooter. If he's 35, 36, I don't think that's going to cut it, because the skill that he needs to bring to be a viable NBA rotation player is his shooting. And he's still been super streaky, and there's been times where he'll just brick after brick on wide open threes, man. That's just not what you want to see from him. I mean, you see some strides in other areas, but again, I just take that as something that I don't know if that's something that he'll be able to replicate when you get in the regular season. Roddy is struggled outside of that first game. He struggled. I mean, you see today, 4 of 11. It just, he looks slow to me. Seems like he was quicker in the regular season last year. I don't know if he's put on weight, but he's really struggling getting past guys. I don't think this is the best setting for him in the summer league, so maybe that has a lot to do with it. But he's starting to look to me like he may be just a four, and that he's not a wing. That's kind of what I've taken out of what we've seen so far. And you know, I'm talking long here. I want to touch on GG real quick. He looked like an 18-year-old today. There's no question about that, man. He really struggled on both ends of the floor. You see 1 of 9 from the field. I mean, he was getting cooked on defense. And, I mean, that's just to be expected, man. He's 18 years old. We've talked about him supposedly being in high school, just graduating from high school right now. He's super young, and there are going to be ups and downs with him, man. He's going to be in the G League this year. He's going to have the keys down there, I think. So you just let him go down there and marinate. I love the kid, but I'm not on the train. A lot of people are saying that he needs to be up with the big club right now. He's not ready for that, man. As much as I love him, I think the best thing for him is to go down to South Haven and continue to hone his craft down there. It's going to be interesting to see, and I touched on Gilliard earlier, what they're going to do at the point guard down with the hustle, because I think that's going to be very important to his development. He needs somebody down there that he can work with from the point guard position that can get him the ball in his spots and help facilitate his offense. That's something that I'm going to be watching. So not a lot. I don't think anybody's really popped from the summer league team, but those are just kind of some of my thoughts on the main guys that you'd be interested in.
Yeah, I want to go, like, so you mentioned the defensive improvements from Lofton, and I think you're seeing him in that drop coverage. We saw that a lot from JV whenever he was here, and he had success at it. It was ugly to watch. It's hard to watch at times, specifically if you get a guy that can eat you up from mid-range, but Lofton is doing a good job as the defensive in the defensive scheme with drop. You would prefer that they take a lightly contested 18-footer rather than getting to the rim just because of the percentages. And like you said, he's gotten a few blocks off of that. So doing good there. I think with LaRavia heading into today's game, he was around 33 or 34%. And I have to say, I agree with you. You need him north of that if he's going to be effective outside of, you know, the summer league. I'm glad that he's doing well. Like, he's had things that were positive.
Yeah, he's got a lot more aggressive. That's one thing that I do. Like, he was kind of timid, especially last summer league. I mean, he wouldn't even shoot the basketball, and that's kind of been a knock on him. And the fact that he's been aggressive, I mean, he's trying to dunk on people out there. So I do like the fact that he's putting more effort and putting more energy and being more aggressive. I do like that.
So I told everybody that we had all three of us tonight. We're 10 minutes into the show, and me and Isaac are hogging the mic. Candace, what have you liked and or disliked from the summer league so far?
Well, I agree with pretty much everybody's overall assessments. I feel like it's kind of hard to debate because the proof's in the pudding. You know what I mean? Like, you can't argue David Roddy looks good. I mean, that's not how it's been. I mean, he really has struggled. I think Isaac may be onto something. I was kind of thinking the same thing along. Did he gain some weight? Because he actually had some of the better point of attack defense at times, you know, on the team. I mean, they would give him Dylan's assignment when Dylan was on the bench, and now he just can't seem to stay in front of, especially your quicker guards, but it just seems like he struggles to stay in front of anybody. So I do think that, you know, that weight gain plus, I don't think that the spacing of the summer league does him any favors. It's not your traditional NBA spacing. So I think he struggles with that. Now, he has always struggled with finishing sometimes. We've seen that in spurts. Sometimes he can do it, and sometimes, you know, he misses things that he should be able to get. Man, he's going to have to do better than that. Like, NBA spacing or not, you got to be able to fit. If you're going to be big body Roddy, I mean, that's kind of got to be your thing. I mean, the 3-point, you'd love it. You'd love to see it, but I mean, he can't be playable otherwise. So I think you're kind of seeing an inverse of the Roddy and Laravia. Laravia does look more in shape than what he did when he first came into Summer League last year. So one, he's being more aggressive. Two, he's more in shape, and I think you can kind of see that even just in his defense. I mean, he's still slow, but you can just
he's lost a few pounds. You can see it.
Yeah, you can tell in his body he's worked on, and it seems to be the opposite from Roddy. So I don't know if he just kind of took off or relaxed. Like I don't really know what his mind. Maybe he felt like his spot was secured going into Summer League without really thinking about
that. Man, lean into that big body, man. You got to lean into it.
Well, yeah, we're talking about Lofting losing weight, man. We need to be talking about body at this point. So
I wonder how much is effort from him. Do you think that has anything to do with, you know, it is Summer League and you know he's out there putting in work.
I see the effort.
I was going to say,
he's just behind, you know?
Yeah. I was going to say one thing for me, it is weird to me. It out of all the players that the main guys that you think the team is looking at, it doesn't seem like they really had a plan for him. Like, it just seems like he's just out there and whatever he does, he's shooting threes or trying to get to the basket. You would have thought that they would have had a more concerted effort, especially with him being the one out of the group that, I guess, had the most success last year, obviously. I mean, he was in a rotation almost all year and playing playoff minutes, guarding LeBron and doing different things. I mean, I just felt like that they would have had a more emphasis. And it just seems like he's just kind of out there. I can kind of see what they're featuring Lofton and doing some stuff with Arabia. But it doesn't seem like they had a real plan with him for me. I don't know. Maybe you guys haven't seen it, but that's just kind of what it looks like for me. It just seems like he's just kind of out there.
I will say I disagree with that. I do notice that a change from the first Summer League game to the other, I feel like they challenged him to be more on ball. And you kind of seen that. I mean, like he had six assists tonight. I think they're trying to do almost the Desmond Bane assignment with a forward, and it's looking clunky as it should. I'm not really sure how. I'm not sure the benefit of that plan, and I don't think it's working very well. But if you pay attention, I mean, he does get fed the ball a bit more. I mean, he's not point guard by any means, but a lot of people are passing to him, and he's kind of been given the responsibility to create off of that. And you see him, like that's what you mentioned, him not being able to get separation. Well, you know, I see him get separation because he is on the ball a lot. And that's not what they had him doing in game one. So they have a plan for him. I'm not sure I like it.
I don't know. It just seems like he's just basically just taking a lot of threes. And I just don't know if that's what best used for him. Well, maybe not tonight, but he's been getting them up. There's no question about the game before. I don't know. I can't remember what the numbers were, but he's been missing a lot of threes.
Yeah, he was 0 for 3 in the Cleveland game.
Yeah, he's really not tucking up a ton of threes.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe my memory is not serving because I remember it just seems like I remember him shooting a lot of threes. I just want to see him get downhill more.
In Vegas has changed a little bit. I think that's the difference. Like he was, because I mean, he was kind of hitting them the first game. So you're right. Like early on, it was an emphasis on three. And then I think they wanted him to focus less on the three-pointer and more on playmaking for others, and he's looked bad since. So,
because we say he was over four today from three.
Yeah, 0-4, 0-3, the last game, the Bulls game. Let's see, I'll pull that up real quick. But
while she's pulling that up real quick, I'm gonna toss something to you, Isaac, so you can kind of touch on this briefly. And Candace, if you got any input on this, obviously it's welcomed as well. But I want to do this because Isaac and I had a disagreement with a player in the draft.
I already know where you're going.
Imani Bates, he's been balling. Like he is playing well in the summer league. And
he cooked Arabia, that's for sure. He was out there cooking Arabia.
I've watched them play. I've watched the Cavaliers play a couple games because I wanted to see how he's doing. And there are games, you know, even with that small frame, he is going into contact. He's trying to play through contact. And that's something that he has to work on. Obviously he's got to get more muscle in the frame to be able to take that a little bit better, but he has been finishing through contact pretty well. Is he playing better right now than you expected him to play?
I mean, he played really good against the Grizzlies. Some of those games, he had good numbers. But if you look at the field goal percentage and efficiency numbers, it took him a lot of shots to get it. He was super inefficient, which is what he does. I mean, no, I've never denied that he can put the ball in a basket. But I still don't know if when you get into the regular season, going up against regular season guys, his athletic numbers are just awful for a guy of his archetype and his size. I mean, he – the short arms, doesn't have any burst, doesn't have any lift. I just think in his game, he needs to have the basketball in his hands to kind of create shots. Like, and that's, I don't know where he fits in. Like, you have to run offense through him in order for him to kind of do what he does. That's what he used to doing, because Eastern Michigan, they just gave him the ball and just told him to do whatever he wanted to do. And that's not going to happen with an NBA offense. And I just think that you talk about that frame, and he's doing it in the summer league, but the regular season is a completely different situation. I think people are going to body him up, and I don't think in the regular season that he's going to get those same shots off. Like, I think he's going to have a hard time because he's not going to be able to get by guys, so he's basically going to just be a shooter. And is he going to be able to get those same shots off? I'm not so sure. Like, he's played well in the summer league, and, I mean, that's great, but I take summer league kind of with a grain of salt. Like, I don't always – put a lot of stock in there. We'll see. I mean, but I've never denied that he could put the ball in the basket. I mean, he's always been able to do that. But we'll see if he can do it against NBA level competition. Because when he was at Memphis, he really struggled to do anything. And that was a AAC type of competition. Now, he went to Eastern Michigan and he went off, but he couldn't really do anything again in those games with Memphis. I mean, he's really struggled. Yeah. That's not to say that he hasn't improved, but we'll see. Like, I'm not a big believer in it still. Like, he put the ball in the basket, and I knew he could do that. We'll see. I'm still not on the train of he's about to be some breakout player. Like, there are people saying, oh, the Grizzlies make a mistake when taking GG. They should have taken the money Bates. I'm not saying that at all. I think GG's ceiling is a lot higher because of measurables, athletic profile, different things that GG can do that I just think there are going to be limitations for money Bates.
Yeah, Candace, you find that the Bulls box, you can go ahead if you got something on Bates.
Yeah. I've only seen a small sample size, but I do think I lean Isaac on this one, because I'll just say, if there's a place where size and athleticism will get you far as summer league, because you're playing against a lot of undersized guys. I mean, just look at the Memphis roster, like, so much undersized that's there, and that's really a lot of the teams in summer league. So, with the inefficiency, I'm just not sure. Kind of like Junior, like, it's the other aspects of the game, that games that you would want him to develop, not necessarily just getting a bucket. Like, can he play a role? Can he play make? Can he defend? You know, will be serviceable defensively. Those are the kind of things that you look at with those kind of guys. And I'm not sure at this point that you're seeing it, but I mean, the talent is most definitely there. And
not sure about his handle either. Like, I think he's gonna get the ball stolen a lot. Like, we'll see. Like I said, I hate to hate on the guy, but I'm just not a believer in it working in a regular season. But we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know if he's gonna get minutes though. That Cleveland roster is
He's gonna be in the G League for sure. Yeah, like, all that there's any question.
I don't expect that he. I think that he's playing well right now, but with
he's gonna get buckets down there for sure. There's no question. Like,
what Cleveland is trying to do right now, they're playing to win,
right?
And unless he just goes to the G League and is destroying folks early on, I don't know that he gets any run with the main roster other than just like here and there, you know. And like that's something. Maybe I think that he has the tools to, in the next couple years, be a contributor on a team that is trying to win. I don't know that he does that year one, though, for sure.
Yeah, I just don't know if the wiggle is there. That the athleticism really is a big-time question mark, because I'm saying his numbers were awful. They had a combine at Memphis where they had NBA scouts come in and measure the team. His numbers were so bad they didn't even post his. That's how bad his numbers was, because I guess they didn't want to hurt his NBA stock. But I saw some of the numbers, man. His arm length is off. I mean, he has a negative wingspan. It's bad, man. Like,
hold on. Are you? I think you're wrong on that, dude.
I'm not.
The negative wingspan?
Yeah, he has a negative wingspan. He does have a negative wingspan.
Ronnie Bates?
Yes.
No, hold up. No, I'm going to look that up.
All right, while he looks that up, I'll report what I found. All right, so in the Bulls game, most of Roddy's shots, now he only took 9 shots, and it gets relative to everybody else, it's not that many, but 6 of them were 3-pointers. So maybe that's what you recall, that first game, he was 1 of 6. But after that, man, it's been like 0 of 4 against the Clippers, against the Cavs. Let's see, he was 0 of 3. So
yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Money Bates measures with negative wingspan.
Yeesh.
He definitely has a negative wingspan.
Found that. No, the on NBA.com.
Well, he has an even wingspan. He's 6'9". He had a 6'9" wingspan.
Oh, yeah, not a negative. That's I was like.
But at Memphis, he did. He measured with a 6'8.5" wingspan. He's 6'9". That's what he measured at when they did it at Memphis.
Height without shoes was 6'8.25", and then wingspan was 6'9" even. So not a plus wingspan, but a 6'9" wingspan is still like he can use that to be effective defensively. Whether that's going to happen or not, I don't know. But yeah, sorry, we're talking over your Roddy talk, Candace. We're kind of all over the place. I apologize about that. We'll get it reeled in here. So you said in the Bulls game, he got up how many shots?
Yeah, Bulls game, he got up 9 shots, but 6 of them were 3-pointers. So that's probably why it stuck in your head like that, Isaac, because that first game, he was kind of chucking them up. But ever since then, it seems like they really asked him to focus on more of a playmaking sort of shot creation role. You've seen him try to drive to the basket and get nowhere, and then he'll pass out and somebody will miss a wide open three. That's happened a lot, more than I care to really discuss. But yeah, it just doesn't fit him, man. He's obviously not comfortable with it, and it's fine to be uncomfortable at some points, but I'm just not sure it highlights even. I don't know. It's not his game, and with him having that extra weight on top of, which I do think he has. I think at least a little bit, just because he is slower, sort of lost a step, and I guess he kind of assumed his role was submitted because he was in a rotation. I mean, I understand, but he's got to realize, man, that he got those rotation minutes because Zaire was out and Moravia was out, and so that had a lot to do with how much run he got in those opportunities. So we'll see if he can maybe take get into shape for training camp. Still time, but you got to be disappointed with his performance so far.
Yeah, with the amount of minutes that he got last year, you expect him to come in here and just kind of dominate. Like, he's the guy that you would say, okay, he plays 2 games and we don't need to see anything else out of him. And he's been anything but that. So that is just kind of disappointing, because he's one of the guys that you wouldn't think at this point that you'd have to worry about in this setting. And he's struggled just as much as anybody else has. And that just is not what you expected. Well, because like I said, this guy was guarding LeBron James a couple months ago in the playoffs. And going against this level of competition, you expect him to kind of pop off the screen, and it just hasn't been there.
And looking at the game today, I mean, he had 6 assists, but he also had 6 turnovers. So,
yeah, I mean, they were just throwing the ball all over the court today, man. I don't know. Well, that's the reason why they lost that game. That Clippers team is not good. Like, defensively, there's no reason they should have lost to that team. That's the only reason, turnover, because I think the Clippers only had, 13, maybe? Somewhere down there. They had a much lower
11.
Number than the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
The Grizzlies
had more turnovers in the first half than the Clippers had the entire game.
Man, it was rough, man. Yeah.
Yep. Legitimately.
So I think that one thing that I'm noticing is when you take Roddy, Laravia, and Lofton off the floor and you're looking at these other guys, like the offense is just awful. Like, they're just completely stagnant. Didn't they have like a 6 or 7 minute run today where they didn't even get a bucket? Like, they went scoreless for a long time today. What I would like to see them do, I like Joel AI, we've mentioned that on the show before. I would love to see more of like a GG Jackson, Joel AI. Joel can take, he can handle the ball. And I think that you let those two guys, who, in my opinion, out of everybody that's on that bench, there are two guys that have NBA talent, like rotation talent. And I think it's those two guys. When you have Lofton and Roddy and LaRavia off the floor, feature those two a little bit more. I know you want to see what Gigi is going to do, and he's been getting shots up. But, you know, you mentioned Isaac, when he's in the G League, finding him a point guard that can get him the ball in his spots. And I, you know, AI showed in college, and when he played for, I think the, what's he, French national team?
Yeah.
I know that. Yeah. I think it was France. Like, he can be a primary playmaker. And so see how that works between those two, because I don't like Frankie Ferrari. He's going to be a G League player. Like these other guys that are out there, whenever you're taking Roddy, LaRavia, and Lofton off the floor, they're G League players. Can they develop into something more later on? Possibly. But right now, I think you have two guys that could possibly crack an NBA rotation. And so get the ball in their hands. Let them see. We talked about Gigi's bag and what he can do in isolation, but we talked about spacing also. He doesn't have the spacing in this setting that he would have at the NBA level. So I would like to see that a little bit more. You've got to do something to get anything from your bench. And you know, Gigi struggled tonight, 0 for 7 from 3, 1 for 9 overall from the floor. But, you know, AI is playing 10 minutes. Like, get him out there and get him a little bit more of a run. So, you know, specifically as we get further in the summer league, you know, you can back, you got Roddy, LaRavia, and Lofton all playing 30 plus minutes. You can back those guys down some and give Gigi and AI a little bit more of a run.
Yeah, I think go ahead, Candace.
Well, and to your point, I think that they really need to consider doing what they did for LaRavia in his sort of breakout game. I can't remember the opponent now, but you know, after that really bad performance, his next game, he came back and, I mean, was killing it, super aggressive, but he started off on the inside, kind of getting in a rhythm. And then he was able to shoot efficiently from three after he sort of got his confidence up and getting to the rim and getting to the rack the way he's comfortable. I think what they've done from Gigi Jackson is that game when they kind of let him do him take over, and he was only, you know, he started that game. I think they said, okay, now practice being just a 3-point guy, you know, because if it's 9 shots, 7 of them were 3-point attempts, but let him get going the way he's comfortable doing. And I think you'll see, I mean, he's been efficient. He had been efficient as a role player until they basically stuck him in a corner. So get him an opportunity. Don't just make him go cold turkey. Get him a few touches. I'm not saying you got to feature him the whole game, but let him get in a rhythm and then let him play the role that you want him to play so he can work his way into being comfortable with it.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that 100%, because the last couple of games since that game where they did feature him, where they set most of the main guys, he just hasn't looked the same. And like you said, they've just kind of stuck him in the corner, and he just doesn't – there just looks like there's something off. I don't think he's comfortable playing with that role, because he's never played in that role. He's always – used to being a featured guy, and just asking him to stand in the corner and you might get a shot here and there. That's just not something that he's used to doing. So
he did it well before they started him that game.
Yeah, they did. And then I guess he got back in the mindset of, okay, I'm taking shots, and then to kind of take that back. Yeah. I guess maybe he's just kind of in between right now. So yeah. I definitely noticed that, man. I agree with you 100% there. I wanted to touch real quick on what David was saying. I definitely think Ayahi has shown enough for them to kind of put him down with the hustle. I hope that's the direction that it goes. With Gilliard, I think Gilliard, his biggest problem, I think he's so short that he has a hard time seeing over the defense. And I think that's really hurt them. I think not having the requisite guard play, because Summer League is all about guards, and they don't have the guards that these other teams have. And I think that's kind of, when you see them struggle, that's what they really struggle with. They struggle to guard those guys, and they struggle to kind of run consistent offense. I mean, you got Kenneth Lofton out there creating more than you see some of the guards creating, and that's kind of tough. I mean, that puts you in a tough position in these games, and I think that's kind of what you saw today with the Clippers. Their guards just really kind of took over in the game, especially in the second half. They just really struggled staying in front of those guys, and they just couldn't get offense. I mean, you have 5-6 minute spurts where you're not really even getting any any offense outside of knocking down free throws. So I think that's one of the big reasons that we saw, especially in these last two games, why they've struggled.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I have no issue putting the ball in Roddy's hands and seeing what he can do. You've got nothing to lose. And with the struggles of the half-court offense in the playoffs, having another guy on the roster that was getting playing time that you would expect is going to get playing time this season, unlocking that playmaking ability from him is nothing but benefit for the Grizzlies. And so seeing Lofton with the ball in his hands more, we see what he's doing, but what are they going to do with him in the regular season? Is he going to get minutes or is he just going to be buried on the bench? And if you look at what Taylor Jenkins has done over the course of his career as a coach, he's a 10-man rotation guy. Are you going to take X out of the rotation and let Lofton be in there? I don't think that's realistic. Like, offensively, Lofton could give you a lot more. But defensively, he's not even in the same – like, X is miles above him defensively. So I don't see that Lofton is going to pass him on the depth chart. And, again, I have no problems with these guys developing, but I like seeing Laravia with the ball in his hand more, attacking, getting downhill. I would love to see him shooting the ball better. And I like letting Roddy kind of develop the playmaking skills a little bit more because that helps the main roster. But I don't know. I just he's not like the stuff that we're seeing from Roddy, that there's a lot of holes in it. And I guess that's what you're focusing on, right? Like, you want to tighten up some of the things in order to make him a better player. But I don't know, rotation wise, what these guys are going to end up doing, like what it's going to look like. Cause there's, when this team is healthy, I don't know that any of those three guys are real rotation players.
I would argue that I think you're right in principle, David, when it comes to get the playmaking and Roddy. I'm beginning to question if the quick acceleration of Desmond Bane made them apply that same recipe to all the other rookies. And I just think Desmond Bane was abnormal in his ascent. I'm wondering if that's something that's better fit for a third year. And I know, like, you don't expect them to play in summer league in the third year, but I'm wondering if that's more where they can really hone what they did well and focus on fixing some of their just general, like, their weaknesses they had in their game first before you try going adding on these extra responsibilities. Because in the players they've done that with, in Zaire and Roddy since, you've almost kind of seen a setback with them, because it's almost like you're trying to master too many things at once to really be good at any one thing. And I agree with the concept. I just wonder if maybe they're being a little premature in saying you had a great rookie season. Now let's add a whole nother aspect to your game that you've never been familiar with before, you know?
Yeah. Some of the things that you're seeing them do, you know, we talked about Gigi and him kind of being the parked in the corner. Hey, just, you know, catch and shoot this in the corner. In the regular season of Bane's rookie year, he was the guy in the corner a lot. He was the corner three-point shooter. Right. And then when he came back and dominated in the summer league and kind of took off, you wonder – that's a great point. I wonder if they're not maybe getting stuck in a rut there thinking, okay, Bane done this. Now if we follow that same pattern, we're going to get the same results from other players.
Man, I just don't know how they're going to play this, because I think they're going to give Zaire every opportunity to fail. I think before they move on, I think he's going to be at the top of the heap, even though I don't necessarily think he deserves that. I think that's how they're going to play it. So you got Zaire, they're going to push him. You have Roddy, who was in your rotation almost all of last year, but they're also trying to give Laravia a big push. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they're going to navigate trying to get all three of those guys on the court. Like, at least one of them is going to be out. And I don't, if there's no consolidation move, which it doesn't seem like that's going to happen. And that's something that I do want to touch on. The roster is at 17, and there's been a lot of conversation about Josh Christopher as well as Isaiah Todd, which puts the roster at 17. I'm starting to get the feeling that they're not even going to give those guys a real chance. I think those guys are going to end up being waived. I hate it, because I honestly feel like Josh Christopher probably has more upside than some of the guys that they're pushing. But because of the investment and the sweat equity and everything where they drafted some of these guys and guaranteed deals and the money that they're making, I don't think they're going to move off any of those guys that are already on the roster. I don't think that they're not going to waive them for Josh Christopher, Isaiah Todd. So if they don't make a consolidation move, I find it hard to believe that those guys are going to be on the roster, which I really hate because I really think Josh Christopher is a guy that they should take a look at. But that's the interesting thing to me, is to watch how it plays out this summer, because even with the guys that they have, before you even talk about it, Josh Christopher, how are you going to get all those guys on the court? Because are you going to send one of those three guys back down to the G League? Are you going to send LaRavia back down there? Even though I think the way that Kleiman and you've heard Taylor Jenkins talk about LaRavia, it seems like they feel like he's going to be up with the big club getting minutes this year. And I just don't know how you're going to do that. It's just interesting to me because you have three guys there basically at the same position, even though for me, I think Roddy is kind of showing to me right now that I don't know if he's a wing. I really do think he's a small ball four, an undersized four. I think that's what his best position is. That's what he played a lot at Colorado State. So it'll be interesting to watch how that plays out, but I just think they have too many guys on the roster that you're trying to develop that have to get minutes, and they don't have the minutes for them. Especially, I mean, you're a team that's trying to win a championship or feel like you're a team that's contending. You can't be playing three, four guys that you're, quote, developing. They just don't have the roster spot for them, the minutes for that.
Yep, to your point, Isaac, it reminds me of when there was an issue with De'Anthony Melton, Desmond Bane, and Grayson Allen, and there was just this congestion at the guard spot that was, it was interesting trying to see how they played that out, and ultimately, yeah, they did have to make some decisions, but you're right. I mean, the prime difference between then and now is just the team is in a completely different space. I think they had the space to have that sort of logjam at guard at the time and play all those guys out and see who won it, whereas now they really don't have that luxury if they're serious about, I mean, they made the Marcus Smart trade and things like that. So if they're serious about contending.
Sorry, I was off on. I was looking back to see where Christopher got drafted. I agree with the fact that I think Christopher has more upside. I would argue over Roddy and LaRavia. I don't know.
I even say Zaire, but no, you might not go that far. But I would.
Yeah, I'm not ready to say that yet. I'm. Maybe wrong on that part, but I saw enough in that rookie season from him to believe that there's something there. And there are a lot of guys that are extremely talented that never figured out whenever they get to the NBA level. And yeah. I'm hoping that that is not the case for him, but we'll see. You know, he's got to stay healthy. Tendonitis is weird and hard to deal with. That's something, that hopefully that they can figure out so he can be out there and be healthy. But it wouldn't surprise me if Christopher turns out to be a better NBA player than Zaire. I'm just not ready to say that I think that he's got higher upside than Z right now.
Yeah, I heard Young Harry say, oh, sorry.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
I heard Young Harry in the spaces mention that the winner of Summer League is Zaire Williams, because really you kind of come out of it thing,
yeah,
his value. Like, I mean, none of these guys have made any sort of real statement. I mean, Doravius put himself back in the conversation, whereas I think he's kind of an afterthought before, but that's really about it. And there's still a ton of question marks on all these guys. And then there's Zaire, who Zaire and Vince, I think, by like their sheer absence, and Vince actually did show something in his small sample size.
They miss his defense tremendously.
Yeah. And shit. He was getting 18 points.
Yeah, they were different. Yeah, he was getting done on both ends. It wasn't just the shooting. The shooting was impressive, but he was playing defense too. And I forgot, I wouldn't even mention Vince in that, which – that's another thing. Like, I don't think he's going to get his shot either, because I think those other guys just political wise, I think are in the pecking order higher than him. And I don't even know if they should be over him. They have a lot of guys that they're trying to develop. And now you add GG Jackson to the mix, which I know he's not going to be up with the big club, but that's even another guy that you're trying to develop. That's kind of a 3-4 as well. So, I mean, they just got a lot of guys, man, a log jam of guys there. They're trying to develop. I thought for sure we'd see some type of consolidation this summer. And to this point, that hadn't been the case, and I'm not getting the sense that that's coming.
Well, I will say this. If I'm the Grizzlies front office, I'm not making a consolidation move until the end of training camp. I mean, I want to see how these guys compete, and I want to see how they fit in. Because right now, you know, Josh Christopher ain't even competing. So summer league, I mean, he's really got to prove it in training camp at this point. So if you really want to take a good look at those guys and see how they would play, I would be holding off on a consolidation move too, but I do hope that they're kind of doing some of the background work on some of that. And they might be, it seems like they're acquiring these random assets and these random inexplicable moves to get value in some places to maybe be able to package something. I don't know, but I mean, yeah, they do have to do something, but I'm not alarmed at the fact that they haven't done anything yet. I mean, I wouldn't either.
Yeah, I was going to say real quick, those trades are weird because if you look at them, if that's what's so weird to me, because I kind of feel like on one hand that they don't have anything invested in Christopher and Todd, but they took on money to do those deals. Like that lowered both of those guys, the Josh Christopher salary and Isaiah Todd salary, lowered how much that trade deception is. Mm-hmm. So it's weird to me that you would take on those two guys and when your roster is already at 15 and then go up to 17.
I don't
have any plan for those guys.
Christopher, like, that changed the trade exception, but Todd was a different trade altogether.
Because they absorbed Todd into that trade exception. The trade exception went from like 11 point something to 7 point something, because it's like $2 million for Christopher and $2 million for Todd. They didn't take Todd into their cap space. They took him into their trade exception. They used part of their trade exception to take on Todd and not send any salary back into that trade with Phoenix. So yeah, they're paying $4 million for those guys in real money. So if they waive them, they basically paid $4 million for a $7.5 million trade exception and two pick swaps, which the 24 one is probably not happening. So you're probably banking on the one in 2030. So that's interesting. I probably wouldn't have made that trade with Phoenix. Like, 7 years down the line, like, I get you're thinking, okay, we're young and we'll probably be better than Phoenix, but you have no idea what's going to be going on by 2030. Like, Phoenix could retool. Like, just because you're looking at KD and Bradley Beal now, you know, you think those guys are rotated out by then, that doesn't mean they're not going to go out and get somebody else, especially with their new owner. Like, he's like Ballmer. Like, he's one of them type of guys that's willing to spend. I think he's going to try to spend every penny he has every year. I don't think he's worried about the luxury tax. I don't think he's worried about anything about like that. So I don't know. That was just a weird deal to me. Some people love it and think it was just like the greatest thing ever. It doesn't make any sense to me. I guess there's a small chance that Phoenix could have some injuries this year and you finish better than them. I think it's unlikely, but we'll see. But it just seems weird to me that you would take on two guys knowing that you don't have the roster spots and probably – they're probably not going to be here. You got to pay $4 million to bring them in. That's just kind of strange to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. But we'll see. They're going to have to do something. And if it were my personal preference is, man, you got to go with the guys with size. I mean, I like Roddy a lot and I like LaRavia a lot. And I think they could probably even do better somewhere else than they just can with the Grizzlies. And I'd rather just take on a wing with some size, man. Like,
just one.
Well, we got Zaire. They'll have the one, but I just would like to see.
Well, I mean somebody that's like, I guess, a veteran that's proven that that's not a much question mark coming. I wish they just had one with size. I just think there's going to be a time where you're going to need a guy at some point with some size. You hope Zaire could be that guy. I'm not super convinced that he's going to make this turnaround, as big a turnaround as they need him to, but we'll see. I mean, I haven't completely given up on him. I just don't know. And we'll see how it plays out. But last year, man, that was just rough. Like, he just looked like at times like he had never been on a basketball court before. And a lot of people want to blame it on the tendonitis, but there were times he was healthy. He was putting up numbers in the G League. He was also played like almost 40 minutes in that final game against OKC. He was also available and healthy in the playoffs. Like, I don't know if injuries was all of that. Like, that a lot of people want to just blame it on the tendonitis. It was all, he was just injured all year. And I don't know. I don't buy that completely. I think he just had something going on mentally, man.
I think accident do too much. That's similar to Contra, right? Like, they got this pattern of sort of asking players to do more than they're
speaking,
capable
of. Speaking of Contra, the contract, man. They made a mistake giving him that extension, man. That is rough, man. That he has 4 years left. It's one year left at $2 million and three at $6 million a year. So that makes him almost untradeable because nobody's taking on that deal, man. I guess they were trying to buy low and figured, okay, well, he's going to continue to improve and we're getting him for real cheap right now and we're just going to go ahead and lock him up. But they messed up giving him that contract because that's a roster spot that they could, I think, move on from him and try to make a trade and move somebody else in. I just don't know if they could get anybody to take that deal.
My guess is,
here's the thing. Like, I know it's $18 million, but when they were, you go back to like the off season with the JV trade, like that they were guys on this roster when they made, When was Solo, like Jay Crowder and Solo and all of that? That's like they had Miles Plumlee that was on a $10 million contract and they just ate it. So, I mean,
I think it's a different time though with their cap situation. Like they weren't getting the cap situation. They weren't paying max contracts out to guys at that point. That was a completely, they were kind of in facilitation mode then. So they were just kind of doing this stuff and making, eating money and bringing in draft picks and doing different things. I don't know if they're going to be so willing to do that with the luxury tax and the second apron and all the kind of stuff that they got max contracts on the books now. That it doesn't make as much sense at this point.
I think they thought that the worst case scenario was that Conchar would do what he did before. And the price of everybody is going up, including role players, right? Well, I mean, we watched Bruce Brown get, hey, how much money did he get?
Man, I like Bruce Brown with like a 20.
Yeah, I think it was
22 or something like that.
We're watching guys, role players get so $6 million. And I also thought for contract matching, if you are trying to get a vet in here, you could throw him in a package in terms of matching salary and it would have worked. Now, the problem is Conchar completely tanked any value that he would have had. I think people saw him as a valuable role player with hustle and effort and who could really help your team on the back end of your rotation before this past season. And I just don't think they foresaw his plummet in performance. Now it is untradeable because
in the years on it, man. Why you had to give him so many years? Like why they got 4 years left on his deal? Like
years were a lot. I think the $6 million. I don't mind the $6 million as much. I think I do agree with you that the years are ridiculous. The years are ridiculous on that deal. But
that man, a lifetime deal, man.
but yeah, I don't mind $6 million because I do think it can help eat up some money and some trade in terms of salary matching if you were trying to get a vet. Now, my guess is ultimately they'll probably try to waive the two guys who they just got. May try to get them on the G League team and develop them now or something like that. I anticipate closer to the trade deadline, that's when they're going to make some of these consolidated, that's when they're going to try to package a Roddy or whoever to get one of those vets. I do think something is coming. I just don't think it's a timeline with which maybe we would prefer.
Yeah, I don't know if anything else is coming. Like you look at it and we've talked about, you know, I think Candace, you talked about when it was Grayson and Bane and, you know, like, oh, they're going to do some sort of consolidation. And we didn't really see anything. They just kind of, they set and they made this move for Marcus Smart, which I've been on record to say that I love the move because I like what he brings to the table. Like you get a improved version of Dylan Brooks on a better contract. Yes, please. So I don't know. It's Isaiah Todd. I like Isaiah Todd fine. If they cut him, not a big deal. The Josh Christopher thing, I'm like, there are at least, I was going to throw a number out there, but I don't want to be crazy, but I'll look here.
Yeah, I was gonna say, why you say that? I think you could get Isaiah Todd probably to the Hustle. I think you could get him there. I'm not sure about Josh Christopher. I think somebody might pick him up if you were to let him go. But there's really just on the roster where wise Isaiah Todd, I don't think he has any shot. They just with the bigs, they just don't have space for another big. So if he's willing to go down to the Hustle, man, I wouldn't mind that. But we'll see what happens. But right now, I wouldn't expect anything. I think they're just going to waive those two guys. And it's weird because also Josh Christopher has the ties. I mean, he's Tayshaun Prince, Grizz executive godson. He's really good friends with Ja Morant. They have a relationship. So, and again, going back to my point, it's just weird that they take those two guys on, kind of looking at the landscape and thinking, okay, these guys are probably not going to be on the roster. And you're just going to take those guys on. I don't know if those pick swaps and a $7 million trade exception were worth doing that. Because it's not like that's a huge trade exception. I mean, $7 million, I guess, it's not nothing, but it's also not something that's just going to be, oh, man, this is just a great asset easier, and it expires at the trade deadline next year. So we'll see how it plays out. But that was just interesting to me that they would bring those two guys in kind of knowing that we're probably going to waive them.
It's going to be tough to stomach if they just waive Christopher, man. I like him, and I just feel like he didn't really get a great run down there, and I feel like he can develop into something. So, and again, I've mentioned I like him over some of the guys that we're seeing in summer league right now for this team. I hate it. I actually wish that we would see Todd and Christopher get some run in summer league, but that's not going to happen at this point. Yeah. I feel like they have both of those guys have higher ceilings than some of the guys that we're talking about possibly being rotation players.
I definitely agree. Grizzlies
next year.
What's really interesting about Roddy and LaRavia in particular was both of them were kind of gotten to be high floor guys, and they turned out to be projects. And I think that's the part that stinks the most about. I mean, if LaRavia can be a player this year, then great. I think that'll be fine. But I mean, if it's another year of just incremental development for a guy who's not going to have a high ceiling anyway, then what was the point? I mean, there were supposed to be guys that came in. And
Don't get me started on that, man.
They were brought in.
You know how upset I was.
The big wing that, like, he's 6'8".
He would just plug and play, right? Like, that's what they say.
Man,
right?
You know what I said that night, man? I still say that all of that stuff that they did, both of those trades, it felt like they were just trading to be trading. Like, I don't get it. I just feel like they could have stayed at 23 and the other pick they had 29 and took, they still could have got Roddy if they wanted him and took another guy, and I think they would have been fine. I just don't feel like there was any reason to make those moves that they made at that point.
They're over precautious with that stuff. I think
I think they
watched the Chris Wallace regime lose their guys and by not being aggressive and trading up and end up selling for somebody they didn't like anyway. And they just kind of decided that if they like a guy, they're going to make sure nobody else can get the guy. And it worked out for Brandon Clark and it worked out for Desmond Bane, but it went downhill from there. Sure.
Yeah. They like, man, we got to go up and get LaRavia, man. I was like, man, I just, with who was on the board, man, there were guys that they could have taken. Nikola Jovic in Miami is a guy that I like. Marjon Beauchamp, guy with Milwaukee. I just feel like Jaden Hardy was on the board. There was just a lot of guys that I feel like that they could have taken, and they still could have taken Roddy. I just don't feel like they need to go up and make that move, but hopefully LaRavia, man, pans out. Like, I'm still not super sold on it. I just think that he's just not the shooter that I think that he needs to be. Maybe he could develop into that, but he's not a – I just don't think he's a knockdown three-point shooter. He's a guy that can shoot pretty well. I don't think he's a sniper, though. And guys can – shooting is something that can improve. So not going to write him off, but I just feel like in hindsight, as I said on that night, that they didn't need to make that drastic of a move to trade two first to go up and get him with the other guys that were on the board. But I want to talk about the Marcus Smart press conference. I was in that press conference, and I think anybody that saw that press conference, watched that press conference, had to be super impressed. I think the most impressed person on the stage was Taylor Jenkins, because I thought that man was going to rip his shirt off and expose his chest on during their press conference. Man, he was ready to run through a brick wall. Man, he was excited about that that move. But I think Marcus Smart just brings so much value as an ambassador, not just on the court, but as an ambassador to your franchise. He has his foundation that he does with youth in the community, and he talked about, I asked a question about that. He's talking about bringing that to the Memphis area, that he's excited to get started with that. So you're getting a guy that does a lot of work in the community, man. He did a lot of stuff up there in Boston, if you look it up, with his foundation. So it's good to have a guy like that in Memphis. He's talking about doing stuff with St. Jude already. So I'm super excited to have him there off the court. On the court, I think he's coming in with the right attitude, because he basically said that he had to earn these guys' respect and trust. He's not just going to come in and, like, I'm a veteran. I've been in the playoffs a lot, so I'm just going to come in and take over. And he's going to try to come in and earn these guys' respect. I mean, he talked about his basketball IQ. I mean, he talked about the art of taking a charge. I mean, the way he broke that down, man, you just have to be super excited. He talked about what him and Jaren being on the floor, the terror that they're going to cause for opposing offenses. And he's excited about that. He talked about Ja and that, how important it is for them to get Ja back and in the right mental space and playing the way that he was before all this stuff happened. Because if they're going to do anything special, they're going to need Ja Morant to be Ja Morant. So he's coming in with the right attitude. I mean, he seems excited about being here, seems to know a lot about the team. I know that he felt like he kind of got disrespected kind of the way that things ended in Boston, but he seems to be ready for the challenge. I mean, he doesn't seem to be upset at all. Seems to be happy to be coming into the Memphis market as far as the team and everything. So I'm excited about it, man. I've always been a fan of his going all the way back to Oklahoma State. And I just think this locker room, I talked about this only before, needed some voices in their locker room. And I think they went out and brought in those two guys, and Marcus Smart and Derrick Rose. And I think they're going to pay dividends. Maybe if you had two guys like that in the locker room last year, maybe some of these things would have went different, but I think it's going to go a long ways in kind of repairing the image of, I think, that this team has throughout the league.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's already done a lot to repair the image. I think there's a lot of people want Marcus Smart to succeed. A lot of people want Derrick Rose to succeed. And I've heard several people say they'll kind of be rooting for the Grizzlies. I mean, just on that alone. So it's crazy how, you know, those two moves can make such a difference from a public standpoint. And ultimately, I love the Marcus Smart move, love the press conference that I saw and everything that he brought. I just really hope that Ja is in the place where he can listen, you know, because, I mean, Marcus can talk all day, but the guy's got to want to hear feedback. And that's some of what I've heard, is that Ja doesn't really listen to people. And I'm hoping that that's changing for him. Now, I will say what gives me optimism is that even if Marcus can't change him over, I think Derrick Rose is going to have his –
Derrick, for sure.
There. If nobody else has his ear, Derrick Rose is going to have his ear. They just got too much in common. They've been compared similarly too much. Their story, I mean, Derrick Rose's background and his, I could just see, I think, even, I mean, that's the only thing Ja hadn't even responded to the Marcus Smart.
Yeah, but as soon as that Derrick Rose dude dropped, he jumped back on Twitter. I think that might have been his first tweet back. Him and Jaren both tweeted out immediately, but that shows you how much respect he has for them. Man, I can think about those team dinners on the road, man. You know he's gonna be right in between Marcus Smart and Derrick Rose. That's where they're gonna have him. I definitely think Derrick Rose is gonna be someone he'll listen to, because he's talked about Derrick Rose in the past. I think that's one of the guys that he idolized growing up. I definitely think Derrick can get his ear, because he's been through, like you said, a lot of the same things, the off the court stuff, injuries, things that just similar path, man. Just similar type of players, kind of the way they burst on the scene. I mean, Derrick has a lot of knowledge to share with him, and I really think that's going to be good for Ja.
Yeah, for sure. So that's what gets me comforted, because I'm not sure. I would love for Ja to gravitate to Marcus, but I don't know. We'll see.
And Kevin Garnett's book, he's talking about he talks about guys that he kind of looked up to, and when he got to the league, when he actually was meeting some of these guys face to face, the stuff, the guys that he looked up to, the guys that he respected coming into the league, when he would have the interactions with them, it would mean more to him. He said, it's not that I didn't listen to other people, and I'm paraphrasing, obviously, not that I didn't listen to other people, but it just had more weight when it came from certain guys. And I really think that Derrick Rose is going to be one of those certain guys for Ja Morant. And obviously, Smart has a lot of positive things that he could bring if Ja is receptive to that. But we'll see. I think no matter what, the moves of bringing those two guys in has got to show Ja and Jaren and Dez, hey, we're serious about winning. Like, you know, we've had development time, and there are young guys on this roster that still need some development time. But overall, this is the core. This is what we want together to bring this city and team a championship.
Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, man, I'm just glad that they finally have some vets with voices in the locker room, because I think that was something that was missing with this team. Again, I don't know if that would have fixed everything last year, but it's just good that the front office identified that as a need, and they went out and tried to fill it, because I think they brought in two great guys to kind of be those voices, because I think those are guys that will have a presence in the locker room. Like, you can have vets in your team, but like, all vets aren't created equal. But I think these two guys are guys that they're going to listen to. I think as far as Ja's concerned, I think Derrick Rose for sure. But I think overall, I think it's just an overall team leader. I think Marcus Smart can definitely be that guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think we're right at that hour mark, guys. You got anything else you want to go over before we get out of here?
No, that's it for me.
No, man, I think we're good.
Good. All right. We appreciate you guys tuning in. We're going to get out of here. You can get the show on Twitter. I didn't drop it 17 times this episode. So here it is, one time at the end of the show, at Ethos Grizzlies. I'm at NBA DWill21.
You can find me on Twitter at CandiceH901. Isaac, take us home.
Yeah, man. Grizzlies will be back in action Friday night, late night, 10 p.m. tip on ESPN against the Lakers out at Las Vegas. So got a day off, game coming up on Friday night, so looking forward to that. You can find me on my personal Twitter page at Isaac_NBA, ISAAC_NBA. David Ferg, and Eco Grizzlies, if you like and follow, we definitely appreciate that. And until next time, here you go.
And that will conclude our Sports Ethos presentation.